Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. I'm getting texts from people who are talking about my root canal problem or whatever. I'm getting texts people saying olive oil. No, I'm sorry, clove oil and pure natural vanilla extract will take that pain right away. You ever hear of that? You ever hear of clove oil? I think, Todd, I'm not even going to ask him. Do you remember the movie Marathon Man with Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah.
And they tortured him. Remember? It was the former guys from like the concentration camps from the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And they would drill. You remember this one, Jim?
No.
I can't remember who the bad guy was. Played a really good bad guy. But it was Marathon Man.
Marathon Man. That was a movie?
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman, and they thought he had some, I don't remember the exact premise, but they thought he had some information, really important information about where these diamonds that they stole from the, you know, the Jewish people in the concentration camp, yada, 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 and I think they, like, had the wrong guy, so they're torturing the heck out of him, but he didn't know, but what they would do is they would drill into his tooth.
Yeah,
they just drill into it, okay,
wow,
to make him talk, and if he gave them something, I want to say it was clove oil, they would put on it, and it would take the pain right away. And they're like, okay, now you know what it feels like to have the bad thing, and now you know we have the power to take your pain away. Which one do you want? He's like, I don't know.
Wow.
And they're...
Wow.
Laurence Olivier.
Yep.
But Marathon Man, that, like, he was on the cover... There was a guy on the cover of Time magazine years, probably 50, 40 years ago, and he was like this crazy guy that just ran and ran. They called him Marathon Man.
Yeah, it's not him.
Do you remember that?
No.
Todd?
No.
Sounds like Forrest Gump or something.
No, cover of Life magazine. Back in, probably 40 years, I remember seeing that.
Thinking, Life magazine has been around for 40 years.
I read it when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Life magazine was awesome.
I mean, everybody got that.
Yeah. I still collect the old Life magazines for the ads.
Well, the photos were great.
But the ads. I've got one. I'll take a picture of it. It's unbelievable. It's probably from the 40s. And it's like every big name athlete that there was. The top tennis player, whoever that was at the time, Ted Williams, Sid Luckman, George Mikan, the greatest sports people in the world at the time, were all in one commercial. Or then there's one ad in Life magazine. I still got a copy of it. It's beautiful. You know what they were all advertising?
Coke.
Chesterfield cigarettes.
Smooth taste.
Exactly.
Chesterfield cigarettes.
Well, I tell this story all the time. That I had guys that would...
no filters, right?
They had post-traumatic stress. They just didn't have a term for it from World War II. And the doctors would ask what type of cigarettes they smoked. And if they said, like, Camels or so, you know, you need to switch to Chesterfield. They're so much more relaxing. Doctors would prescribe Chesterfield cigarettes to the patients to calm them down. True story.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that amazing?
Right. Well, let's. Wow.
I can kind of go for one right now.
No, we're gonna talk about something great that we have. So,
Hans on?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's been on since 1 minute to seven. So, Hans, welcome. Wow. Hans, I want to introduce you.
I love when I get publicly scolded.
I want to set this up just a little bit. So, Green Bay, Greater Green Bay, our area. We received this award for the best place to live in the United States. And that was last year. We were the number one and we're still in the top 10 or 12. And I think one of the heavy criteria was crime. And our crime is, for a city our size, a community our size, is relatively low. You are the executive director of Crime Stoppers. Is that correct?
Well, I'm the coordinator for the
court. Yes. All right. We like to elevate people on our show, Hans.
We pretty do. We pretty much. What's that in the military where they make the promotions out in the field? It's right. Like you're now a captain instead of a lieutenant.
All right. Well, Hans, you're the but Hans Lux, you live in Washington Island? I didn't even know that till today.
I live actually on Washington Island.
Nice.
I happen to be the town chairman up here as well.
Wow. Oh, wow. So
that's cool.
You're like the mayor of Washington Island.
I would love to live on Washington Island.
A lot of people would.
Yeah.
How long have you been up there?
I've been up, I've been one of those summer people for years. Back in the 90s, I bought a place for the summer to get away, and we moved up here full time in 2016.
All right. So crime.
You know, Hans, do you know why Jim would never live on Washington Island?
Hans, this is true.
Hans, do you know I know why?
No, go ahead.
He said there's too many snakes.
Yeah, Hans, I would rather take a root canal, drill my tooth. I hate snakes. And you have them up there, right?
Well, we have grass snakes. There's really nothing much
that's more, a snake.
Worse than that. Yeah.
Rattlesnakes, grass snakes, pythons are all the same to me.
No.
Of all the places in the world, it's a beautiful island. It's unbelievable. It's paradise, but they got grass snakes. I'm not moving there.
That would be me. Anyway, Hans, you, Crime Stoppers, which I've been to many of your events and banquets, that is a great organization.
Yes, it is. We serve a great purpose with the community, with our partnership, with law enforcement as well. It's a unique. We think we're underutilized as far as the people in the communities knowing just who we are. So we appreciate this opportunity to kind of talk about that.
Well, and what you do is you're an anonymous number to call, just Crime Stoppers, and you also give rewards too, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about the program, and then
Throw this out. Is there any crime on Washington Island?
No, he runs it here.
We have officers just like you guys do.
Oh, yeah, okay. You bet. Okay.
Right. You bet. But let's talk about the program. Our program here in Green Bay was established back in 1987. It was through a federal grant, try to get the things working with law enforcement in 1988. We actually found out, which surprises no one, that crime has no boundaries. You know, we have people committing crimes in Green Bay or Bellevue or Howard or Wrightstown. So the name got changed to Green Bay Area Crime Stoppers to serve all of basically Green Bay and Brown County. So that's how long we've been involved with that. What we do is we offer a service where people can anonymously leave tips regarding crimes. You know, there are times when people, for some whatever reason, maybe had bad interaction with police or don't trust them. We offer the ability for them to still get that information to law enforcement to solve crimes, and they can do it anonymously. And we have three different ways to do that. You can use our call center, which is the number is 920-432-7867, or that would be the acronym of STOP at the end. We also have a website, which uses that same acronym, www.432stop.com. And we also have, we utilize a service called P3, which is a phone app where people can download that on their phones and then make tips to us through that as well. Now, we've served the community quite well. We think we're very successful in that. We began our latest program when we went to computerized records keeping. We had a website created. We had the phone service. Back in 2009 was the only thing we had, and we were getting only about 83 tips a year, and we didn't think that was serving the community well enough. So we made a major investment into redoing what we're doing as far as the different ways to get a hold of us, and that has proved out very well. So just quickly kind of to give you the impact of what we do. Since 2009, we've received almost 12,000 tips. We're averaging about 1,200 tips a year at this point in time. Wow. Those tips have led to the arrest of almost 1,100 people and almost 1,800 charges, criminal charges that came out of those tips. So there's a great deal that we do just for the community itself. And then we've branched out into the schools. We've had a school program where all the Brown County schools for about the last 20 years now. Our current program is called Student Stopping Crime. We actually get the students involved with that in their schools. Excuse me. And that has been quite successful as well. The last couple of years, we haven't got the stats yet together for this last school year that got completed. But we've had back in for the school year 2021 to 22, we had 91 tips that came in, and we paid out on those tips at the schools over $1,400. And in the last completed school year, 22 to 23, we had 111 tips, which we paid out almost $2,500 to.
How much do you pay for a tip?
Well, generally either $25 to $50. Wow. What we're trying to do is, our focus in the schools is to get rid of drugs, get rid of alcohol, get rid of bullying, vandalism, you name it. There's the majority of kids that go to school want their schools to be safe.
Sure they do.
So what we've done is allowed them to kind of take ownership of that. And just like our community program, you know, we pay for tips that work out.
I think bullying in schools is one of the worst things that there is in our country.
And to have and you keep this really anonymous. I mean, you are really good about protecting the tip.
Oh, that's our major goal, is to keep everything anonymous. It really is, because whether it be a person in the community or whether it be somebody at school, yes, that we want to make sure that they remain anonymous so that the program is successful.
I was going to say, what a great program, Students Stop Crime. I mean, you really want to get the youth to be aware that they can stop crime. It's not all the police I think we got a great police force here. But, you know, they can only do so much, and they need some help from the community. And I agree, some people are, like, very hesitant. They don't even want to talk about their neighbors. They'd rather do it anonymously. And I think that's fine as long as you let us know. So I think this is great that you are engaging the students. I'm glad that's working.
Yeah, it's working really well. We put out a campaign about 6 years ago where we actually raised funds and we put 65-inch monitors in each of the schools. We donated one to each of the schools to use as they need. They can also run, or they also run our information, so that keeps the students informed too as to how they can make those tips. And last year, last November, I should go back a little bit. We've augmented that now, too, since the schools now restrict access to generally one or two different locations where you can enter the schools. We created a mat program where we actually designed the mats for the floors, which has the logo and the school colors and the name along with our information. So every day when the students walk into school, they walk past our information as well that's on the floor. And that program last year, back in November, we were awarded a National Community Service Award for that MAP program by Crime Stoppers USA, which is a national organization.
Wow.
So quite a big deal for us here in Green Bay. And we've kind of used that now to follow up our latest venture now is working with our law enforcement partners.
Hans,
I
want to hear more on this. Hans, we got to go to a quick break. Oh. Stick around. Can you stick around?
Okay.
We're going to be right
back.
Yeah,
you got it.
We have 1 minute. Bye.
Hey, welcome back. Mighty the Mayor here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Wow, 75 degrees in Oshkosh, 73 in Appleton, 66 in Green Bay. Just another, what's it supposed to get up to?
Like 92 today.
92.
92, yes.
My God, today's the day of my hard training for the triathlon. We're after a little bit of everything. And it's going to be crazy.
Hans, we're on the phone with Hans Lux, who is the Green Bay Area Crime Stoppers. And we're talking about you receiving this national award. I want to get to that. But first, I just want to dispel what John just said.
Which part?
Yeah, about the training or anything athletic.
What?
John's a good guy, but he's, as he says, I'm not putting words in his mouth, he's made a living BSing people.
This part is not BSing. I don't think I shelled out $95 for a new used bike.
He did
to BS.
That
I think
is true.
This is something that's near and dear. Who walked 16,000 steps the other day? Me.
You did. All right.
Okay.
Who took their bike to work today?
You.
Okay. So we're even. All right, Hans. Tell us about you. So you got an award for what you're doing, educating the youth and having them come in, see it in the school. Hey, look, you know, I can be part of this. Students Stop Crime.
Yes, we did. And that was really awesome to receive a national recognition for the program that we're doing here in our schools. And we've kind of gone a little further with that. We recently were contacted by ATF and Green Bay Police with a program that they wanted to run or have us run in regard to the number of illegal gun purchases that are occurring in the community. And we've had a lot of gun violence, and we're trying to put an end to that. We're trying to work with our law enforcement partners to do that. So if you go into a gun store to purchase a gun, you'll see on the counters generally they have like a mat to, you know, to put the gun down so it doesn't, you know, damage the gun or the countertops. Well, we created mats, counter mats, for each of our gun sale places here in Brown County. Kind of alerting people that maybe they need to think about it if they're making that illegal purchase. And in other words, it's for buying a firearm for somebody that really can't, because maybe they've been arrested before, they've got other violations. We want to remind everybody that if you're buying a gun for someone that can't, in other words, making that straw purchase, you're like putting yourself at the scene of the crime when that gun is used, and you're looking at 15 years in prison and up to $25,000 fine. So we now have mats, these mats on the counters in 76 different locations where guns are sold within Brown County as well. So we're working together with our law enforcement partners to try to stop that.
So when you roll the mat out, what does it say?
It says, basically, remember, buying a firearm for someone who can't is illegal.
Wow.
And that will result in a 15 years in prison. There's a reason that the person you're asking can't buy a firearm themselves. Should you trust them with your future? In other words, you need to think about it.
Right.
Because if you made that illegal purchase and that gun is used, you were just like you're at the scene of the crime pulling the trigger
looking
yourself.
15 years.
You're an accessory, huh?
Wow. So,
yeah, you are.
I'd never heard of that before, to
me
be honest.
Me either.
With
I think that's really cool. You roll that out, and the guy's like, "Yeah, I don't think I want this
Who
gun.
Would do that, though? I got to be honest with you. I mean,
who would buy a straw?
No, I mean, if you came to me, Jim, and said, "Hey, I got a record. I can't buy a gun," I wouldn't buy one for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying, when you, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm just saying, as far as when that's such a serious thing, and you're opening such a Pandora's box of what horrific things could be because of it, who would want to be a part of that, right?
Well, you got people out there that are looking for to making an easy buck,
right.
And these people that can't buy are giving them large sums of money to do that, and maybe they have other issues going on, like maybe that's how they need to supply their drug habit or whatever. It's not as unusual as you think,
right.
But it's an effort of us to try to stop these gun violence situations that are occurring in our communities.
Hans, how do you get your funding? That's one question I have. And I know I've been at a couple of your events, but then how can people, besides calling Crime Stoppers if they are aware of a crime, how can they donate so that you have these funds to pay out for these tips?
Oh, absolutely. I will tell you, a lot of people wonder when they make donations to nonprofits just how much of that money goes to the actual program. I will tell you that we have a board of 16 volunteers, and that includes myself as well. There is no one in our organization that gets a cent as far as being paid. That's how great and fantastic these people are and the efforts that they make to improve their community. But generally, yes, if you go to our website, the www.432stop, there is a place there that gives you information as to how you can donate. We also have one major event. That's our golf outing, which will be happening this year on September 10th out at Mid-Valley. And all the information, if you want to get into our golf outing, bringing a group to help us raise funds, that is also available on our website as well.
Hans,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, is there a gap? Is there one thing you guys want more help on, more people calling about, something that's big in our community? Because Jim and I talk about fentanyl quite a bit, which is horrific. What's the number one thing that you guys would like to open everybody's eyes to?
Yeah, our issue, we probably, most of our tips are drug related, whether it be the person just using it or whether the person's actually involved in the trafficking of it. And we try to pass that information over to DTF and also to our local officers. But in reality, those budgets and those departments are also quite difficult to manage. And in reality, they don't even have enough manpower to handle all the tips that we get in. But we do what we can. We try to prioritize those things that come in because we want that stuff off the street as well.
Difficult. If I could jump in, another thing that Jim's really involved with, he had somebody on for his, you wouldn't think Green Bay would be a sex trafficking hub, but it is.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Well, that's because you've got the major expressways running around Green Bay, and that's generally what draws it, and then the events themselves, whether, for example, the NFL draft is coming up shortly. Those type of major events bring organized crime into the community. And that's one thing that is occurring, and they're dealing with as best they can as well.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a lot of work to do here. A lot of good things going on. Hans, you know, I sent you that text. I have some low-hanging fruit for you. I said I got this program idea, Johnny. It is illegal to have really loud vehicles, motorcycles, cars, and I think that's a crime. So this is what I want to propose to you. You can think about it, and I'll have you back on the show in a couple of weeks after you dissect this. But if someone calls in that crime, say, hey, look, here's the license number. This guy has a loud muffler. And then the cops go and give him a ticket or say, look, we'll give you a ticket unless you fix it. And maybe we give that guy $20. I'll put up the $20 to do that. Is that, can we get that low-hanging fruit, like easy crime? No?
Oh, we do that all the time. We get traffic stuff okay. that comes in as well. It's you know, yeah, we'll do whatever. Anything that we get that's law enforcement related, okay. I do send out back to the local agencies.
920-432-STOP, and you can just call that number. Here's the license number. This guy is breaking the law with this loud muffler.
Okay. Yeah. Call Hans. Yeah.
You know, I want to work on fentanyl, you know, and sex trafficking too, but I get, you know, okay. Yeah. That's, start with the small stuff.
You know, kind of put it to an end. There's any crime that's committed out there. Generally, someone has some knowledge, some information, or maybe they've been told and just can't realize it. That's the information we need.
Right.
Anything that we can get to stop that. So, again, we encourage people to give us a call. They can do it anonymously. It works very well, obviously, as you have seen, and we're just trying to do whatever we can to be supportive of our community and our law enforcement.
You guys
well.
Are great. www.432-STOP, or we got the phone number, 432-7867-STOP. Hans, thanks for what you're doing. We got to donate. We got to support the September 10th golf outing, and we appreciate what you do for the community here.
All right. Thank you, Mayor.
Our podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Time to switch gears here, talk a little high school sports. Scott Vinci, the ace sports reporter on the prep circuit for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Good morning, Mr. Vinci.
It's always good to hear your voice, Mr. Mino.
Thank you. So
I wish I felt that way. All right, go ahead.
When that last out was recorded in the DePere game the other night, winning the state championship, which is phenomenal. I did their meat raffle, by the way, this winter, and they predicted they were going to win the state championship. I don't know if you want to put that in your article. But either way, when you filed that story, did you just take kind of a really deep breath? I was like, prep season is over but although you don't have much time off, in like a month football starts. But did you kind of have that feeling?
I did, specifically this year, because as you know, in April and May, the UWGB basketball teams both decided to hire new coaches. So, I mean, this was a whirlwind year for both high school and college all at the same time. When that finally hit, and not thankfully, but we would have actually had soccer that weekend right after the pier, but none of our teams made it. So, which would have been, I'd love to have gone to Milwaukee to cover it. But yes, to answer your question, Mino, it was kind of nice to be like, okay, let's file this and now we're done. And I have a question for you. When you started off with this, were you at all, because you worked their raffle, are you at all trying to take credit for this?
Yes,
for
he is. Scott, I can answer that, Scott. Yes.
Not credit. I don't want to say credit. I'm just, I think I inspired them a little bit. I gave them a little bit of pep talk.
He's the guy.
It's the second time that I will take a little bit of credit for it. What was the first one, Jim? What was the first one?
The meat raffle.
Besides that, what did I take credit for? Because I think I inspired a team.
For everything. What, the Packers?
No. Kiwani.
Oh, get this, Scott. Scott, you're around.
Scott might have been part of this.
I know. That's why I'm going to ask him right now. Johnny said when they switched from the
Indians
to the Storm, that he wrote the song Kiwani on the Storm or whatever.
By the Doors. Kiwani is the Storm.
So, yeah. And he said that he talked to the students.
Kiwani is the Storm.
Enough. And he said that he talked to the students on the bus and
No, okay, you get all your stories wrong. No, I don't know how you're reelected so many times. when you get things so wrong. Here's the deal, okay? So I wrote the song for them, okay?
Yes, you did.
To the Doors, Riders on the Storm, right. 1971. Big right. song. So they loved it. I recorded it. They played it on their bus, on the fan okay. bus and the team bus going to Madison. They played that over and over and sang it, and they said that helped. You could remember Coach Flanton?
They helped. Now I see
Scott,
that.
Scott
that,
remember? Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. You could call Coach yep. Flanton, and he will tell you, yes, that helped inspire them to a state championship. I'm just being honest.
Scott?
I will say this. Okay. To be honest, I've never heard this story.
Okay.
But that does not mean it did not happen, and I will have to say, when I would go to cover a Kewaunee game in years past, Don Mino is kind of a mythical figure there. They love Don Mino and Kewaunee, so I would not be surprised
you should see
if they actually did listen to that. They were inspired by him because he's basically a hero there.
Oh, no, oh come on, Scott, stop.
A mythical creature.
Mythical creature.
Yeah.
He's not going overboard with this. Yeah, thank you, Scott.
No. They would make you food in the press box specifically for you when you would call one of their football games on a Friday night. It was insane.
That's true. But I shared it.
Okay, all right.
I shared it.
Yeah, right.
Although, I told this story. They gave me a big thing of matanke, that baked sauerkraut. I left it in my trunk like the whole weekend. Then I got it Monday morning.
The whole garage.
It was mind-boggling.
The garage.
It was like something died.
You thought smoke was getting out. To get smoke out of a smell of a car, you should try to get that stuff out.
It was not good. Yes.
Anyway, so Scott, you take a little break. I mean, what I always was impressed me about you, and we don't know each other all that well, but I would see you a lot at the games. You just don't show a lot of emotion. I mean, you just really take it all in. And that's, I am 100% opposite of that. I'd be, you know, right? Isn't that you?
Yeah. And John will know this. Back in the day, I used to actually be accused, you know, Ashwaubenon football really good. So people just assumed I loved Ashwaubenon football because I was writing about them. But in reality, and hopefully this doesn't sound harsh, it should be what all reporters are, but I literally do not care about the schools or if they do well or if they do poorly. My job is literally to be there and to record what happens, to talk to them, to try to put something into context as best as I can. And that's it. So, hey, I might cheer for a great story if somebody's down 9-0 and they score 10 runs in the last inning to win. Well, that makes my job more fun. But other than that, I don't show emotions because I don't really have many when it comes to that.
You know, Scott, we had Cliff Crystal in here one day, and Jim asked him the exact same story or exact same question. And he said, I got to be honest with you, the Packers Sunday, whatever. It's just a work day. You got so many other things to worry about getting your job done the right way, that the outcome, the score on the scoreboard, that's inconsequential. And that really is the truth in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, no, absolutely. And there are definitely people in the media who are still fans of teams they cover, which is kind of, you know, kind of weird, but, you know, it happens. But, exactly right. And it's even easier at the high school level because there's not that type of fandom from reporters unless they maybe graduate.
But I will say this. There are certain coaches you kind of develop a friendship with. And you want good things to happen to them with some of them versus other ones that can be kind of jerks at times. Let's be honest.
And at the high school level, thankfully, you don't really encounter that many jerks because they're just normal people.
Right.
They're not, you know, besieged by media or getting criticized other than by a few parents for some of their decision-making in games. But other than that, I can't even remember. Probably on one or two fingers, I could probably count, like, coaches were like, okay. All right.
Speaking about one or two fingers, did Mosk ever tell you the story when he flipped off the mayor?
Now, is this a true story? Or
it is. This is a true one, but we're at a farmer's market on a Saturday morning. They had the one, it was right off Monroe Street, and Demoski comes like barreling through, and there's a lot of people there.
His little PT cruiser.
Yeah. And I just said to him, as a good citizen, and I just said, slow down. I did yell at him. I'm like, slow down, because there's all these people, kids walking around with their little vegetables and things. And his respect to me gave me the finger.
Yeah. So then they're at Packers training camp a couple of days later.
A couple weeks later.
I think it's with Peter King or Who's he with?
He was with Schiefelbein.
Mark Schiefelbein, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And the mayor here was there. He goes, hey, Rob, have you ever met Mr. Mayor? And the day before, he just flipped him off.
We've met.
And that's a true story.
Let's shake hands. So, yeah.
You know what is really, and I can say this, all of my interactions with you have always been pleasant. After every run, hey, how's it going? Or hey, everyone. We've never flipped each other off.
No.
It's always been very, very nice. Very,
kind of like same with you and me.
Yep. For sure.
Scott.
Yep.
Scott,
yep.
So Johnny and I have season tickets for UWGB. I know we talked about that last time you were on, but I just want to get an update from you. I had some hesitation with, you know, can this guy do both, do a radio show, coach a team? Since then, he's hired a couple assistant coaches. He's obviously recruited a couple people. Can you give me, like, your read on this? I know you want to take a little break, but I want to hear this from you.
No. Yes, I can. Okay, now this is going to be taped, so this could really come back on me. But we are in the middle of June, and I am telling you, they are going to absolutely be one of the best teams in the Horizon League this year. Now, I don't know if Doug can coach or not. How does anybody? But what he's been able to do since he got here is attract 4-star recruits who would never have considered this place. Yesterday, they land Jeremiah Johnson, who was just taking visits to Florida and Texas A&M, who had multiple offers of other Power 5 schools, had just decommitted from Oklahoma State, and he's going to Green Bay. So, you know, getting a collection of actual legit talent in the Horizon League, you're going to automatically be one of the better teams. Now, they all have to blend and, you know, get some chemistry, but the talent there is going to be really high. And what Doug's obviously being able to do is he's getting some help with NIL, and they're able to, I mean, they're not just getting these kids for a scholarship. They're obviously going to give them a competitive package to play here, which is just not something previous coaches, well, NIL hasn't been around that, but Sundance wasn't going to be able to attract those money type of players unless he had a prior relationship like Noah Reynolds. So listen, we'll have to see if he can coach. But the talent level that he is getting so far is really amazing.
That's,
I think you're
awesome.
Going to really enjoy watching them.
I love going to the games, and you kind of said,
except he never wants to stay till the end.
Not. Well, now I will.
Let's go, Johnny. Let's go. And you know that feeling, Scott, when everybody kind of knows you and the team's getting beat, so you leave early.
We're in the second row.
And we're in the second row. Let's go. It's like, no, Jim. Yep. You know that feeling, Scott?
Yeah, well, I do, and it's funny because I grew up in a family that when we would go to a Cubs game or any sporting event, you never left until the buzzer, the last out of a bait, never. Yeah. It could be 10 to nothing. It could be raining. We would wait out 3-hour rain delays. It didn't matter. You did not leave until the completion of the game.
That's awesome.
Well, we grew up in two different families.
That's a Chicago guy for you, though. Versus...
Right. I'm a Two Rivers guy.
Yeah,
so,
that's
right.
The difference.
Wow.
Hey, Scott, what do you think? Let me just ask a couple other off-the-ball questions, if you don't mind. I mean, I'm a big fan of Caitlin Clark. And, you know, I think she's got some growing pains without question. Everybody does. I mean, I remember Pete Maravich when he first entered the NBA, and I think he had 8 points in his first game or whatever. And people, what do you think of the whole situation going on with that? Bizarre, isn't it?
It could be labeled bizarre, but I think if you're a WNBA fan, if you're a league official, keep it coming.
Yeah.
This is amazing. That it does. Okay, sure, the talk is annoying and it's hot takes and it's like, okay, so many people, and this would be including myself, talking about things they don't even know. They haven't even followed the league until basically 3 months ago.
Right.
So, but everybody needs to have an opinion now, Mino, about everything.
Yeah,
but I would say, oh boy, this is great for your league. Any of this attention is putting more eyeballs on your league, more interest. People are talking about it right now. Me and you are talking about it. How can you not like this?
Right.
It's amazing. This is what they need to do to be able to grow a sport like this. That's actually pretty cool already. And she's going to usher it in. And yeah, there's some growing pains. And yeah, I'm sure there are some players who are,
jealous a little
kind
bit.
Of bad boys. Yeah. Like, yeah, Pistons against the Jordan back in day, you know, kind of. But hey, you can have this, or you can go back to 2001 when I was at a game and nobody was there.
Right.
So
absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Okay, we got to set it to a break here in a second, but can you stick around for another 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because one of the things I really want to talk to you about, Scott, is, and obviously things have changed in the media, you know, with newspapers and reporting. And I remember you guys would work pretty much on Friday night till I don't know what time in the morning, you know, to make sure every, you know, Wausaukee against, you know, Crandon was, you know, was reported. And things have just changed. So I just want to talk a little bit because I still get kids, believe it or not, I still get parents contacting me saying, hey, my son or daughter's thinking about getting into the sports media business. Is it still viable? Because when I was coming up, sports writers were the kings. Weren't they, though, right. Scott? I mean, a good sports writer was the king of media.
But they still are to a lot of us. I mean, I love reading Scott's stuff.
No,
Scott,
I
want to talk about that because I did want to end with this. I want to talk about the business, the career path. You're one of the best, and I think there are kids that really find this sexy the right word, but just a really cool business to be in.
It was
in.
Really, when I was an intern in Phoenix, Arizona, and I'd go to the Suns games, and there would be the top columnists from, they were like big time celebrities.
Cool.
They walked into arena and they were like, woo, he's cool.
Yeah.
So Scott Fancy, Green Bay Press Gazette, stay with us, buddy. 1 minute break. Be right back. The mayor here with Scott Fancy, Green Bay Press Gazette, a man that Jim and I during the break were both talking about. What a great writer he has been for so many years here and the work you have done in covering local sports. How long have you been doing it now, Scott?
I started the Press Gazette in August 2002, and my first story was on a girl named Emily Winston from Green Bay Southwest, tennis player, won the Green Bay Metro meet. And I'm you know, new in this. And we talked about, hey, just give me a good story. She gave me the best possible story I could have ever asked for as a newbie. She showed up at the court a half hour late because she got the starting time wrong and she was still in bed. And then she goes and wins the whole thing.
Wow.
That's a cool story.
Do you still get, I remember when, and we're not going to mention any names or anything like that, but I remember you telling me about some of the negative things you'd get from parents or whatever. I still remember one that I have to laugh at where, God bless you for keeping your composure. I'm not sure I would have. A lady called you or wrote you a letter maybe even complaining that you didn't put her son on your all-star team for the year because he was going for a scholarship. And she felt like you hindered his chances for a scholarship. Remember that one?
Oh, that happened so many times during my career.
That one.
Now, yeah, that has so shifted in the years of, and maybe nobody cares anymore, but with all these recruiting websites and everything, I think everybody's now realized, hey, the newspaper guy really isn't impacting my kid's scholarship. We're going higher than that. For the first 5, 6, 7 years, that's all it was that kind of stuff. So, but kind of like the WNBA, Mino, it showed that they at least cared.
Yeah,
right?
Good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
And back in 2000, well, you started in 2002. I got elected in 2003. There was a lot of that little the Packer things, like we would meet at the Holiday Inn or at the the place right next to the Rush Center, and they'd have we just talk. More sports. It just seemed like it was a lot. Wasn't as contentious. It just was very cool. Green Bay.
Well, there used to be the Green Bay Press Club.
Maybe that's
I remember
what it
that.
Was,
Lee Remmel used to host that.
yeah. Yeah. And you know what? As we all get older, I think we all, well, at least me, I'm like, oh, you know, the 1990s, weren't they so much better? But when it comes to sports, I mean, I think they were, only because I'm just not a hot take guy. So, hey, and if he's listening, I apologize, but the Stephen A. Smiths have created this brand out there that's just not for me. It's like, everything doesn't have to be a hot take. Everything doesn't. And that's the kind of the sports culture we're in now for media. And it's just not my cup of tea.
And nor mine, but I think there's a whole bunch of people, and I don't know what kind of ratings you guys look at, but that read you, that, because it is the real deal. It's not all this. Yeah, like sometimes they hype things up just for themselves. The story isn't worth what they're doing, and where Scott kind of keeps it, you know.
Well, I don't know, Scott. Do people have patience to sit and read a great sports page anymore? I mean, I would, but it's like people look at that for these short little snippets, and that's, you know, Stephen A. went off on LeBron or whatever, and that's like the big headlines now. That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, no, the way people are consuming just news in general, but sticking to sports, the way they're consuming sports is exactly that. It's social media or you know, short clips. They're into clips now. Like, hey, give me a 30-second thing. I don't want to read.
Exactly. Stuff.
So, I mean, in terms of talking about the business that I'm in, as people my age and older start to age out, these kids that are 18 right now, they're not, first of all, they're definitely not reading a physical newspaper, but I don't think they're perusing the Green Bay Press Gazette website reading about news.
I got it.
It's just not the way.
We got a text here, Scott. Didn't during the Mino and Nick days you play a Vency voicemail that he had received? Do you remember that, Scott?
Oh, that's the most amazing one because, yes, I do. And he actually, it was very funny the way he did it. You know, my three best friends at Schwab and on Preble and whoever, at Notre Dame. And that's what I was talking about where, like, those were teams that were good. So that's who we're obviously covering. And, yes, that gentleman thought that. And I think he called me an idiot a couple of times. Which, I mean, hey, there's some truth to that.
But I still remember, why don't you get a job and...
Yeah, and think about it.
And think about it.
Why don't you get a job and think about it? Very
You're
great,
a moron. Like, why don't you get a job and think about it? You're a moron.
We
played that thing incessantly.
We've all got a drawer full of those.
Absolutely.
question. But just... to just touch on social media, Johnny and I are going to talk about this maybe tomorrow, but you saw that the U.S. Surgeon General said that he's going to, like, cigarette labels, that social media is not
mental
good.
Health.
So I think we've hit the bottom, and I hope people get back where they just read a good article by a good writer. I think that's...
Yeah, I think that warning probably is a little bit too late at this point. But, yeah, and you know what? When social media, like when Twitter started in 2007, whatever it was, it was so different. It was actually like, hey, this is being used to, like, kind of throw out information. Ooh, have we gotten
right?
It's just not there anymore. It's just not there.
Scott, if we could go back in a weird time, and we're running out of time here, but we really love having you on. We'd like to get you on a regular basis once prep season starts again, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Anything for you, Mino.
But if you were writing, if we could go back in time, a different time, different place, you're the sports writer, I was the athlete, and you had to write a story on me, how do you think you would start that? Any idea?
Well, that's a bad premise.
Well, no, I'm just saying. Scott
is a sports writer.
No, but a sports writer, a lot of times they formulate this, that first paragraph is so important to compel people to read the rest of it. What do you think? Yeah. Any idea?
I think the lead would definitely be something to the effect of, hey, this guy is limited talent-wise, but what he brings to a team, you know, that kind of the Kiwani thing, what he brings to a team in terms of inspiring them, like, hey, if this guy is still working hard every day, even though he's riding the bench, got to go out there and get
Jim's words, why the limited thing?
We would just call it what it is. The court gesture.
No, what? Yeah. Scott.
All joking aside, I do think that you're considered a UP legend. Foster Wonders at DB is one of the UP legends, but you were actually before him. So no, all joking aside, great athlete.
I mean, we played basketball together. Give me your quick synopsis.
Okay, we're running out of time, Scott.
Yep.
We're running out of time.
Limited, limited on defense, great outside shooting.
There you go. We'll take that.
Limited on intellect.
Just leave it there, Jim.
All right.
Let Scott have the last word.
Right.
Scott Bensi, you're awesome. We love having you on. Yeah, you're a tremendous writer, tremendous advocate for prep sports.
Keep up the great
in
work.
Northeast
we
Wisconsin.
Love
thank you for what you do.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Scott Bensi, we got a lot of great stuff coming up, including Mac Hageman from NBC 26.